All right, go ahead and find a seat. Happy New Year. All right. Well, coming into the new year, it's often times the time of the year where we're really wanting to make changes in our lives, and some of us are kind of gearing up to fulfill some resolutions we might have made, and it's cool. I think that that's a good thing where we're trying to look at ourselves and trying to say, hey, how can I grow? How could I improve? How could I get better, right? And so I don't know if you've done that or not, if you've decided you're going to either lose weight, get out of debt, maybe get a extend your education. Maybe you decided that you're going to have a new kind of relationship with your spouse or your kids. All those things are good. And so just want to commend you if that's you. That's not me. I don't like to make resolutions, but I do like to grow. And so hopefully through this next series that we're going to be on, you're going to grow, that you are going to take steps forward in your walk with the Lord. That's what our hope is as we begin a four-week series. We're going to be looking over these next 4 weeks at ways in which throughout the centuries Christians have grown spiritually. I've entitled the whole series Growing Deeper Through Disciplines. I don't know about you, but when I hear that word discipline, it's not a word that I gravitate toward. Right? In your mind, I don't know what comes to mind when you think of the word discipline. Maybe there's a thought of being very methodical, someone who's very strict. It could be this idea that there's a structure to your life. There's a regiment to your life. And none of that, at least to me, sounds very attractive. That kind of, I don't know, lifestyle, to me, it feels like it belongs in a monastery or in the Marine Corps, but it doesn't really relate to at least what I perceive as most of our lives in the 21st century. But I just want to let you know that though we're going to be focusing in on disciplines, our goal isn't that we get you rising at 5:30, you know, doing your quiet time at 5:15, eating your kale breakfast bars, and then going to the gym by 6. That's not the goal. So don't be fooled when you hear the word discipline, okay? Some of you, though, may strive on structure. Some of you may really like to have pattern in your life, and that's a good thing. I don't want to discount that at all. In fact, having pattern and things built into our lives on a regular basis, that is actually very good. I just don't want us to think that that is the ultimate goal of this series. The ultimate goal for us as followers of Jesus is that we become more and more like our Savior. The scripture speaks of this over and over and over again. In Galatians 4:19, Paul, speaking to the Galatian Christians, he speaks of Christ being formed in them. And then he speaks to the Roman believers in Romans 8:29 of them being predestinated to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. So we see that in Galatians they're being formed. In Romans he talks about being conformed. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he's speaking to the Corinthian believers, and he speaks about them being transformed into Christ's likeness with ever-increasing glory. So whether you're formed, conformed, or transformed, the whole idea comes from the same root word, that we become in this pattern of the Lord. We get ourselves shaped into the pattern of Christ, so that in every situation, no matter where we find ourselves, we respond like Jesus would respond. Okay? When thinking of the goal of spiritual disciplines, sort of our guiding North Star comes from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you think about growing spiritually, those are the types of things you should have in your mind, that as you grow spiritually, as you engage in spiritual disciplines, that the fruit of the Spirit is what gets produced in you. But growing in these ways doesn't just happen. Seeing the fruit of the Spirit develop in you, it's not something that just happens accidentally. The Bible speaks of there being intentionality in the way we live. This is seen in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25, where it says this: Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. This passage speaks of the importance of training. There's a parallel between the athletic world and our spiritual lives, it's saying. And just as an athlete goes into strict training so that they might be able to perform at the time of the games, so too, we need to go into training, and that's what the spiritual disciplines are about. Several years ago, there was some men in our church who asked me if I would like to go running with them. And so they wanted to get up early and go running, and I'm not a runner. I don't even fancy myself to be a jogger. And so running to me is torture. There's almost nothing I would rather do less than running. Unless you're dribbling a basketball, and then it's the most exquisite form of exercise known to mankind. But running on its own is torture to me. And I don't know why, but I said, sure. I'll go. So we got up, and we weren't running, and I knew I was in trouble. 50 yards in, I'm thinking, when is this going to be over? And, I could tell that the guys that I was running with, I mean, they weren't even breaking a sweat. And this, this was about a 2-mile run. They were not even breaking a sweat, at least from my vantage point from behind them. I couldn't tell, but inside they were breaking a sweat. And I tell you, the reason why these guys weren't breaking a sweat, because this wasn't their first run. They had been running as a kind of a pattern of their life. They had asked me to join. To me, it was an event, a one-time event. And I suffered for it. My body wasn't ready. When the idea of running came up, I mean, their bodies responded in a certain way. Their bodies responded like with energy and power, right? My body responded by screaming and saying, what are you doing, right? Because my body, I wasn't trained. I just thought I could go out there and run, but it doesn't work that way. There's a parallel there between athletics, what the scripture says about how an athlete trains and how they might perform come game time. And for us in our spiritual lives, how are we going to perform? How are we going to respond in those times when we are engaged in something or we face a challenge that's going to require us to move in love or in incredible patience? How is that going to work? So remember that picture from Galatians, right? That picture that was painted of the fruit of the Spirit. And imagine yourself as you grow spiritually, that as you engage in spiritual discipline, it should lead us into having just more love for God and other people. There should be rivers of joy that we flow in. There should be this experience of restful peace in our hearts. We should have these deep reservoirs of patience towards others, even patience with your parents and with your children, patience with your colleagues at work, those hard to get along with coworkers. There should be greater and greater degrees of expressing thoughtful kindness toward others. We should have this growing zeal for righteousness and a hatred toward evil. We should have in the way we operate just a firm and unswerving loyalty to God and our commitments that we make. There should be a heart that honors others and refuses to manipulate others or be coercive toward others to try to get our way. You know, we're not trying to be domineering, manipulative, but we're gentle. There should be a mastering of the impulses of our flesh so that we live under self-control, so that we're actually able to do what the Spirit wants us to do and not what the flesh wants us to do. That's what it should look like when we are properly engaging in the fruit or the disciplines that lead to the fruit of the Spirit. So, in light of that, I'd like to just give you a definition of what a spiritual discipline is. It's any regular activity connecting us to God that helps us become more like Jesus. Any regular activity connecting us to God that helps us become more like Jesus. Notice that a spiritual discipline is something that you're engaged in on a regular basis. There's some sort of pattern. There's some organizing our life around certain things. So it's not just an event. It's not a one-time deal. It's actually something that is incorporated into your life on some regular basis. Okay? It connects us to God. That's the key. The discipline, whatever it might be, has to connect you to God because it's in the presence of God where you experience the transformation that God wants to see happen in your life. Okay? It's the encounter that's so key. And then it leads to us becoming more like Jesus. This is why it's so important, and we need to be careful. Because there's a real danger for those of us who engage in spiritual disciplines. See, there's certain sins that are reserved for Christians. And that's the sin of spiritual pride. And spiritual pride often can come from those who are most disciplined. In other words, they're the ones who might actually read the Bible the most. They're the ones who might show up to every single Bible study. They might be the ones who are in two or three community groups. Because we could then think that because I do these things, I'm good. You know, I've had perfect attendance in coming to worship service for the last 15 years. I must be good. Do you know how often I read my Bible? I haven't missed a day of my devotional time. I must be good. See, if we make the measurement the discipline themselves of our spiritual progress, we're going down the wrong path, and we're fooling ourselves, and we actually become people who can become spiritually proud. But if we focus on the fruit of that discipline, what kind of person am I becoming? Am I becoming a more loving person? Am I becoming a more patient person? That is a much better indication of spiritual growth and progress. And so, over these next 4 weeks, we're going to be focusing on four different disciplines. The first one is fasting. The second one is giving. The third one is praying. And the fourth one is reflecting on Scripture. Okay? So today I'm going to be talking about fasting. We are right now, as a church family, we've encouraged all of us to engage in a fast over this month. Throughout the month of January. And we've thrown out there, you know, some parameters and some thoughts about fasting. And so I really want to focus in today on this particular topic. I think it's obviously very, very appropriate at this time. So fasting, out of all the disciplines we're going to look at, is one that is probably the least well known. It's perceived as the most undesirable, and I think it's the one that's practiced probably the least. That would be my guess. In his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, Donald Whitney, he recounts this dreadful experience of a man who attempted to fast. This is what he writes, this is what this man says. Several years ago, I heard a couple of pastors discussing fasting. On their recommendation, I tried my first fast. They said it was commanded in the Bible and should be practiced by every Christian. Being a Christian, I decided to try it. After putting it off for several days, I mustered up enough courage to start. I couldn't go to the breakfast table with my family because I didn't think I would have enough willpower to abstain from eating, so I went on to work. The coffee break was almost unbearable, and I told a little white lie about why I didn't go with the group. All I could think about was how hungry I was. I said to myself, if I ever get through this day, I'll never try this again. The afternoon was even worse. I tried to concentrate on my work, but all I could hear was the growling of my stomach. My wife prepared a meal for herself and our child, and the aroma of the food was all I could bear. I figured that if I could make it till midnight, I would have fasted all day. I did. But immediately after striking of the hour of 12, I dug into food. I don't think that day of fasting helped me one bit. I don't know if that's been your experience in these few days that we've been fasting. I know that there's a part of me that could relate to that. I remember several years ago when I was fasting during a time, my family and I, we decided to take a trip, and we went down to Portland. And during this trip, we were going down to Portland because, you know, they don't have sales tax down there, and we were going to buy probably Christmas gifts. And so we went down there, and I was fasting during that time. And, you know, I told you I hate running. You know what else I hate? I don't like shopping. And so here I am, I'm shopping, and I'm fasting. And then my family decides we're going to go out to eat to Olive Garden because they're not fasting. And so we go out to eat to Olive Garden. And that trip, I'm often reminded by my family, is when Dad was grumpy. That was the grumpy trip. I mean, That's a bad combination there. Fasting, shopping, and then watching other people eat. Maybe that's your experience. Maybe you've said, I've tried that. Man, that doesn't produce joy in me. I get upset. I'm not going to try that anymore, right? Why should I put myself and other people through this? Actually, I'm not going to fast anymore because I find that I become such a person that no one likes, and so I'm going to do everybody else a favor, and I'm not going to fast. See how spiritual I am? I'm really thinking about you. But the problem with that is that oftentimes we don't allow ourselves to engage with the reason why we're fasting. See, I believe that this particular person shared in the story, and even in my own experience, as we're fasting, we're focusing in on doing without food as opposed to, okay, how can I engage with God? How do I connect with God this time? That's what fasting is designed to do. The first thing it's designed to do is it's designed to draw us closer to the Lord. Fasting is designed to draw us closer to God. It's designed to heighten our spiritual hunger for God. As we are experiencing hunger pains, it's a reminder to turn to God. And it's a reminder for us to say, that's right, God, you're the one who satisfies ultimately. See, we all need food. We all need food. But in with abstaining from food for a period of time, what we're doing is we're posturing ourselves such that in a way where we have a reminder that God himself could be our spiritual food. I love what Jesus says when he's talking to his disciples and, you know, they went out to get food and he's sitting there at the well with the Samaritan woman. And they're just shocked when they come back. Number one, because he's talking to a woman. And number two, he's talking to a Samaritan. And he just says, hey, I have food that you don't know anything about. My food is to do the will of my Father. There was something life-giving and energizing for Jesus in his relationship with the Lord, that he was fueled by his relationship with the Lord and to do God's work. It was while the disciples were fasting and worshiping the Lord that they heard from the Holy Spirit. This is what it says in Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. They were fasting. They were worshiping. And in that time, in that space, they were able to hear from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them about setting aside Paul and Barnabas for the amazing work that God had called them to do. This first missionary journey. And when you think about it, it's pretty amazing. Because they were listening to the Lord, because they had been fasting and praying, they heard from God, they went out, and guess what? Here we are. Here we are. We could trace our spiritual lineage all the way back to the disciples listening to the Holy Spirit as they were fasting and worshiping. We live today in a culture and society where self-gratification is not just the norm, it's celebrated. Don't deny yourself. Have you ever seen any commercials that speak of denying yourself? Everything that we see, all the media that we receive, is about what? Fulfilling yourself, getting more. And so when you fast, it's actually pushing against the culture of this world that says, you know what? It's not about getting everything that the world says I need. It's actually giving them the stiff arm and saying, you know what? No, I want to actually turn back to the Lord and find my deepest satisfaction in Him. When fasting is done as a spiritual discipline, there's a direct correlation and connection with the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. How do you grow in self-control? Well, one way you grow in self-control is by saying no. Saying no to even something that is not sinful, but something that is actually thought of as a necessity. And so in the scriptures, what we find is that most often what's talked about in terms of fasting is food. There are different time spans. There are fasts that were done, it seems like, for a few days. It could be for a quite lengthy period of time. Sometimes it was food and water, which you really need to be wise about and feel like that's what God is calling you to do. Sometimes it was not just from food, though. In 1 Corinthians, it speaks of a husband and wife fasting from sexual intimacy. And it says, for a period of time, so that you might devote yourself to prayer. There's nothing wrong with sex within marriage, but fasting from that, an agreement is being made between a husband and wife so that they might focus in on prayer. They might connect with God, okay? So, fasting is designed to draw us closer to the Lord. And interesting, though, some people think, well, you know, actually, as they read the Bible, they say it really never says or commands us to fast. And that's true. There's no commandment. There's no 11th commandment, thou shalt fast, right? But if you look at what it says in Matthew 6, 16 to 18, Jesus says this: when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's cool. When you fast. When you fast. There's an assumption being made. Just like in other parts of the scripture, in that same passage, when you give. The expectation is that you will give, right? When you pray, the expectation is that you will pray. Fasting is assumed. Fasting was just part of the fabric of the life of Christ, of disciples, and what I believe God wants for us as His people. But the best part from that passage in Matthew is not just that it says, you know, when you fast. It doesn't, it speaks to God seeing us. God seeing us, you know, He has eyes that see what other people don't see, right? And there's a admonition there. There's an encouragement there that says, hey, don't do it for other people's, you know, perception. You're not doing it so that other people might perceive that you're a spiritual person. That's not the goal, right? And then here's the cool part. But your Father who sees in secret, He'll reward you. There's a reward there at the end of our fasting. There's a reward there. And I think as we seek the Lord, and we say, God, I just want to connect with you. God, I want to know you. You are the most important thing to me. You're better than food. You're more important to me than sex. You are just my Lord, and I want to know you. And as we engage in fasting with that kind of heart, guess what? He rewards us. He says, yeah, I want to show you more of myself. You want to know me? I want you to know. I'm going to meet you. I'm going to open up some things to you that you may have never seen before. I'm going to show you parts of me that maybe you've been cut off from. I want you to know me deeper and more intimately than you ever have before. Wow. That's cool. The second thing about fasting, why we do it, to seek God's help during times of crisis or challenge. Throughout the Bible, the Israelites were often under attack by foreign armies, and they fasted. They were threatened with annihilation, and they fasted, as it says in Esther. They were in need of divine protection at times, as it says in the book of Ezra, and they fasted. They were needing divine favor from the Lord, like it says in Nehemiah, and they fasted. Fasting during these times expressed this deep anguish due to the circumstances that they found themselves in. They just had a dependence upon God. They needed God to act on their behalf, and so they fasted. And so it's during times of great crisis or challenge where sometimes we come before the Lord and we fast. A third thing, third reason why we fast, to prepare us for ministry. To prepare us for ministry. Luke mentions once again that the leaders of the early church, after they were worshiping and fasting, he mentions once again that they fasted and prayed, right? In Acts 13:3. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on Saul and Barnabas and sent them off. The emphasis again is the need for fasting and prayer as they sent off Paul, who was called Saul at the time, and Barnabas to go on this missionary journey. So not only did they need fasting, they fasted. The efficacy of fasting was to hear from the Holy Spirit, but it was also in the commissioning of Saul and Barnabas to go on this mission. When Saul and Barnabas were on the mission, they started these churches, and then they went back later on. And it says in chapter 14, verse 23, that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So these elders who were being appointed, they were being put in charge of an important ministry, and so fasting and prayer was needed at that time too. So we see that there's a correlation there. Ministry, engaging in ministry, preparing us for ministry can be done by fasting. Fasting, there's a link there between fasting and commissioning people to do God's work. Maybe you are starting to engage in a ministry. Maybe you're becoming a community group leader. Maybe you're going to go on your first short-term mission trip. Maybe you're going to start teaching in our Sunday school. Have you thought about, hey, it might be good for me, before I start, maybe I'll fast. Just to make sure, you know, just to make this connection with the Lord. Maybe to hear from him. I'm going to ask him, because I have no idea what I'm going to be doing. I need to ask him for wisdom. How am I going to connect with these seven-year-olds? I'm not just going to go in there and wing it. I'm going to ask him and seek him. Like I mentioned, during this month of January, we're asking our church family to consider fasting. I have to admit or report to you, I'm very encouraged. And I'm very encouraged because I've heard different people saying, I'm really glad we're fasting. I've never fasted before. This is really good. And there's just this cool sense like, you know, we're doing something and I really feel it. Like we're posturing ourselves in such a good way to connect ourselves to the Lord. And I don't know actually who all is fasting. We've encouraged you to do it. We've given you some literature on fasting. Hopefully, in your community groups, you're being encouraged to fast. But each one of you, there's an opportunity here. You could say, you know what? Yeah, I do. I do want to be a part of that. I do want to connect with God, maybe in a new way. Maybe in a way I've never done before. And I think that that's awesome. And I know that there's some of you who are late adopters. Some of you who, in your heart, in your spirit, you have the folded arms, right? You go, I ain't going to do it. You ain't going to, no. I like steak. Food is too important to me. And sort of in your heart and your spirit, you're going, you know what? No, that ain't for me. I just want to encourage you, okay? That's your prerogative. No one's going to force you to do it. But I just want to ask you this. If you have that hard attitude, what are you hoping for? What are you really hoping for in your relationship with God? Are you really hoping to grow deeper? Because it's not just going to happen by accident. You're going to be like I was on that run. You're going to think, hey, you know what? I would love to have more love and patience and kindness in my life. And there's this sort of false expectation or this maybe foolishness that says, you know, in the moment, I'm going to perform. Just watch me. But when you get there, what you're going to find is you don't have the patience. You find yourself actually going in the pattern that you kind of have been walking for maybe most of your life. That it's just about you. That there isn't any more acts of kindness. There's no more self-control than what you've seen in the past. And so I just ask you, you have freedom, believe me. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do to walk in a new way so that you become more like Jesus? At the end of this month, what we're hoping to do is have another time of sharing where we could just share what our experience has been like. And I fully expect that some people might share about how hard it was, but I also expect people to share that, you know what? God met them in a special way. And maybe they've received some breakthrough in certain areas of their life. Maybe they saw an increased vitality in their relationships. Maybe they've seen greater effectiveness in sharing the gospel. Maybe a greater boldness. I don't know what's going to happen. But we want to give some space for us to encourage one another at the end of this month. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, and I'm going to close this. But beginning in this new year, what we wanted to do too is we wanted to continue to expand and grow. And part of that expansion and growing is just offering. What we do is we offer prayer, right? Every Sunday we offer prayer. We want to have just a few more prayer stations on Sundays. And so what we're going to do is, normally we have our prayer stations on the side wall here. We're actually going to have a few in the back there too. So if you're in the back there, if you could find a seat, because we're going to actually be having some folks back there to pray. And so if you could just find a seat, that would be great. And we're going to have some prayer stations in the back and on the sides, because what we want to do is we want to encourage our church to continue to grow as a house of prayer. And being a house of prayer means that we're just more open to receiving prayer and more open to praying for people. So we're going to do that in this new year starting today. So if you would, why don't you stand with me? And our intercessors, I think, Amy, do we have the glow sticks or whatever? We have some things, just so you guys know who the prayers are. Okay? And yeah, if you could, because we are going to be standing in the back, and we want to give people privacy, you know, when they're getting prayer. So if you could move away from the back, that would be great. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you so much that you give us the disciplines to connect with you. And Lord, I pray that you protect us from any form of legalism, any misguided notions that we might hold on to. Lord, I do pray, though, that as we engage in these disciplines, there might just be this amazing connection with you. For we know that when we come into your presence, that's when we are transformed. Father, as a church right now, as we engage in fasting, Lord, would you encourage us? I know it's hard. I know it's a new practice. And Lord, for some of us, we're going to try and we're going to slip up. We're going to maybe stumble a little bit, but help us to get up. Lord, thank you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God, use this time, especially the period of this month, to grow us. Grow our hearts of compassion. Grow our hearts to see people and their need. Grow us in boldness, Lord. Thank you, God. We love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.